So Peter, some Caribbean nations are demanding reparations from Europe over the Atlantic slave trade. As we said in the beginning, slavery still happens today. And the reason why we're talking about this today is because the film director Steve McQueen, who made that movie 12 Years a Slave, he said in his acceptance speech at the Academy Awards that there are 21 million slaves still in the world on a global level. We're going to talk to Terry Fitzpatrick, who is the communications director for Free the Slaves all the way in the United States. Terry Fitzpatrick. Terry, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. Good afternoon.
Sure. Good afternoon. Happy to help spread awareness.
Yes. So Terry, for me personally, if I hear, and for a lot of people, if they hear there's still slavery out there, people are still, you'd say still slaves, What do I have to understand by that? Is that still the same picture as I have when I read my history books, like people in shackles and chains, being sold on the market, like cattle?
Well, chattel slavery is the older form of slavery that we all learned about in our in school, and the transatlantic slave trade, of course, is in the United States and in the UK what we're most familiar with, where people were, of course, kidnapped from Africa and brought to the Americas or into Europe. That's not the way slavery looks today. However, it's important to remember that the groundbreaking work, say, of Wilberforce in the UK Parliament and of Lincoln in the United States to end that form of slavery didn't actually eradicate slavery. They outlawed it. But they never really ended it. There's always been some form of slavery still with us in different methods and means, and it's actually kind of gone underground and is hidden now because it isn't legal. But in many ways, it's just as brutal as it always was, and there are more people enslaved today around the world than there were at the height of the transatlantic slave trade. So it's still there, people forced to work without pay under threat of violence, and they cannot escape. That's the kind of definition.
So you mentioned that there are, they're higher in number right now than there was at any time before. So we have different figures. We have some people who have estimated around 30 to 35 million, and we also have a figure that says 21 million. So, what are the figures you have? Or how many do you think are being exploited in the world generally as well?
Sure. The different numbers, and the range now is from around 21 million to 36 million. And this number moves as new studies come out. Although one thing is clear, no matter the low end or the high end, nobody disagrees that it's still one of the greatest human rights crises in the world today. It's tens of millions of people, even if you accept the low number or the high number. And the reason these different numbers come out is because they're measuring different kinds of slavery. The lower number, for example, is the United Nations International Labor Organization, the ILO.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have certain treaties and certain conventions under which they define slavery. For example, they don't consider forced marriage to currently be a form of slavery, where other academics and experts do, and so they measure that, and you get higher numbers. The Walk Free Organization out of Australia, their lead researcher is Dr. Kevin Bales, who is at the University of Hull now in the UK. He is the one who is coming up with the 36 million number at the moment. So different numbers of countries from which we have data, different kinds of laws and definitions of what constitutes slavery, gives us this range of statistics. But the one thing as an activist that I always tell myself is that I don't have to know the exact number to know that I need to start doing something.
Yeah, there is always that, we have alarming figures anyway, whatever the exact number is, it doesn't matter, but it's a concern, isn't it? I mean, when we talk about modern day slavery, what are the common types of slavery which we find today in the world?
Sure, and this is a kind of a misconception that many people in the general public might have about what slavery is today. Here in the United States, and I'm sure the movie played in the UK, Liam Neeson's daughter is kidnapped at the Paris airport by Albanian mafia and brought to a brothel. Well, yes, some of that does happen, but for the most part, slavery today is labor. forced labor. About 80% of it is forced labor. People working in mines, on fishing boats, in farms, at timber camps. And about 20% of it or so is what you would call commercial prostitution, forced sex slavery. So that's not to diminish the experience of women who are in, and boys and men who are pushed into forced prostitution.
Yeah.
But in terms of the nature and the scope of the problem and where it exists is different in different places. So in places where there's a lot of need for physical hard labor, digging, quartering, carrying, timber felling, working in charcoal camps, working on fishing decks. That's where you tend to find a lot of forced labor slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, say, Europe and the United States or and Canada, you tend to find a different mix. And we don't have specific statistics about that, but you tend to find more, a higher percentage of sex slavery or domestic servitude, where people are enslaved as maids or nannies and abused inside private homes behind high walls or closed doors. So the nature of slavery is a little different in different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terry, you mentioned the United Nations International Labor Organization, ILO. Their definition of slavery is work or service which is exacted from any person under the threat of a penalty and for which the person has not offered himself or herself voluntarily. You know, we spoke about, for example, these kids and even adults in, let's say, Pakistan or India,
mm-hmm.
who are working under really, for us, severe conditions, mm-hmm. really horrible conditions. But at the end of the day, they're getting paid for it. And that's something that brings them through the day and feeds their family. For us, that might be slavery, but for them, that's how they put bread and butter on the table, isn't it?
Well, the difference is, can they walk away?
Yeah.
And they go work somewhere else where they can make a rupee more per day. And that's the thing that gets you for slavery. So let me talk about the two major pathways into which people tend to fall into slavery today. One is unsafe migration. People in rural areas are migrating to mega cities around the world and are migrating from poorer countries to wealthier countries in search of a better life for themselves, their families, or to send money back home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of a Wild West atmosphere now with international labor recruiters. In many places, they're just completely unregulated. And so traffickers can pose as legitimate labor brokers and trick people once they get them to the job site. That's one pathway, migration. The other is debt, where we find that people have a flood happens, a fire happens, an obstetrical emergency happens, and they need a doctor, and they need money immediately. And they don't have access to legitimate credit. They don't have access to free medical care. They don't have savings clubs that are set up. And so they borrow money from someone, a loan shark or a money lender or a farm owner or a factory owner, and they pledge their labor in return to pay off the debt. And then they get cheated by these individuals who say, well, your debt is never paid. They charge horrible interest, and they keep people enslaved forever if possible. Now, the thing is, say I borrow 10,000 rupees from you in India for an emergency, and I'll work it off at the rate of, say, 100 rupees a day. And then I find out, listen, I can go earn 200 rupees a day just down the road. I can pay off this loan sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, but what makes it slavery is the slave owner says, no, you can only work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You cannot walk down the road and earn more money. You are pledged to me, and I dictate what happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. You cannot leave. And the other thing is about just subsistence. Just because someone gives you 10 cents a day so you can buy a potato, say, in the Congo, is mostly keeping you alive.
Yeah.
And yes, it does keep you alive. But it's this idea of, well, I could go earn a dollar a day instead of 10 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to let you. And that's what makes it slavery, the inability, how you came into the job and how you can't get out of the job.
Yeah, so
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, what can we do and what can you do? I mean, as you're a spokesman for Free the Slave, so what is it that you do then?
Well, sure. You can squeeze slavery from three major directions. One is demand. you can help reduce the consumer demand for products that are tainted by slavery, either made directly by slave labor or with components that are made by slave labor or even raw materials that are somehow infused into the production process. To do that, you have disclosure requirements so that companies must investigate and disclose whether or not their products have slave labor in them. The UK, for example, just made a major step last year in its Modern Slavery Act by requiring disclosure on products brought into England.
Mm-hmm.
There are some shortcomings with the law, but at least on imports, there has to be disclosure. So that's the demand side of the equation. The other side is prosecution. Right now, this is like a $150 billion a year global illicit industry, and almost no one is ever caught or prosecuted. It undermines the rule of law. There's a lot of corruption of police and border guards that happens because of trafficking and slavers, and we need to help strengthen law enforcement, strengthen prosecution, and strengthen penalties for this. And the third direction is, and this is where Free the Slaves, our organization, works primarily, is supply, the supply side, cutting off the supply of vulnerable people into systems of slavery. It's not just poverty that makes someone vulnerable to enslavement. It's true that most people in slavery are poor, but not all poor people are in slavery.
Yeah.
So there's a combination of these vulnerabilities that I was talking about that cause people to migrate unsafely or cause them to fall into debt when some kind of crisis happens.
Right.
And that's where we work, is on that supply side primarily. So squeezing it from multiple directions. You can't do it just one. You can't just law enforce your way out of this problem.
Yeah.
And you can't just deal with the supply side. If nobody bought the products, no one would, there would be no market for slave-made goods. You have to have all three. You have to push from all three sides.
Yeah, it does require a concerted effort, doesn't it? Thank you very much, Terry Fitzpatrick from Free the Slaves for speaking to us this afternoon.
Oh, sure. Happy to help. You can learn a lot more about our community approach. You can actually see videos I've made from the front lines with people in slavery and who have come out of slavery to see how our model works and how this approach works on our website, which is freetheslaves.net.
I was just about to say that, freetheslaves.net, and you can go check out the website. You can donate and take action. Terry Fitzpatrick, Communications Director, Free the Slaves. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Happy to help.
Have a good day.
It's 24 minutes past 5. This is Drive Time at Radio Voice of Islam.
You're listening to the Voice of Islam Radio, broadcasting on DAB via the internet 24 hours a day.